They didn't provide immunity to the president. And, you know, not so surprising, they were reacting against a monarch who claimed to be above the law. Wasn't the whole point that the president was not a monarch and the president was not supposed to be above the law?
That's Justice Elena Kagan. Many hypotheticals thrown about during the 2.5 hours worth of oral arguments at the Supreme Court. The question whether former President Donald Trump is immune from prosecution in a case charging him with plotting to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Let's bring in Matthew Schneider, leader of investigations and white collar defense practice at Honigman Law. We always ask him about what's going down at the Supreme Court, and they're very busy, Matthew.
Yes, they are, and this was a very long argument as well. Usually they don't take nearly this long, but that indicates that this is not only a very, very significant case for the parties involved, but it's a significant case for the public, for the American people, because this really sets the bar for how to treat presidents in the future and what type of conduct could result in a prosecution potentially against the highest people in the land, including the President of the United States.
And Matthew, the case against the former president really hinges on the interpretation of official acts and whether they should grant immunity from prosecution. Now, how do you define official acts, and where is the line drawn between presidential duties and potential criminal behavior?
Well, that is precisely the question. That is exactly what the issue is. And the Supreme Court indicated, or at least they suggested, that the Supreme Court might not be the place to make that decision. They might have to send this case back down to the lower courts for them to make the determination about what is an official act. And Justice Roberts gave a pretty good analogy. He said, well, what if you are a president and you're appointing an ambassador? That's an official act. But during that appointment, you appoint the ambassador in exchange for a bribe. Well, bribery is not what we would think is an official act, but is that an official act or is it not? Because it's got parts of an official act, but then the crime is outside the scope of the presidency. So those types of things are actually inherent in the special counsel's indictment as well. Those are things that the Supreme Court might not be able to decide. A trial court might have to decide that.
Okay, so they decide it, but it still ends up at the Supreme Court. Isn't this kind of a crazy loop where they're going to be where they're still going to be arguing over these blurred lines between private and official acts?
Yes, but that's not surprising. Oftentimes, the Supreme Court doesn't make those calls. They use trial courts to make those calls because trial courts can take evidence. They can have witnesses in front of them. The Supreme Court never does that, and that's not the place in the Supreme Court. So this would also not be unusual if that's the route that the Supreme Court takes, because that happens oftentimes in cases.
So when could they make this decision, and how would that affect this case against the president?
So right now, we're at the end of April. The justices, all the briefs have been submitted. They've heard arguments, so it's squarely within their ballpark right now. That means they will probably decide this case by the end of June. Now, if by the end of June they decide this case and their decision is, well, we're going to send this back to the trial court or the Court of Appeals for more analysis, well, then what happens is that would delay the proceedings more than likely. So the people who really thought this case could be done before the election, I think that was really a wishful thought. It seemed unlikely at the time, and it seems even more likely now. And if the Supreme Court sends it back for more review by the lower courts, it's just not going to happen. It will not take place before the election.
So, you know, some will argue, Matthew, that allowing presidents immunity from prosecution after leaving office could really set a dangerous precedent, effectively really placing them above the law. What do you think about the potential abuse of such immunity by future presidents?
Well, I used to work for President George W. Bush, and I was in the White House right around the time of the Iraq War. And you'll remember that George W. Bush made these statements to Congress, and so did Colin Powell and other people, about the evidence that they believed was in Iraq. Well, it turns out that was wrong. And so you could see that if the decision comes out that presidents have no immunity at all, you could see somebody like President George W. Bush be prosecuted for that criminally. You could see Obama be prosecuted for some of the acts that he took. You could see Biden be prosecuted. So if the court decides that there is absolutely no immunity at all, that will set a dangerous precedent for future presidents. And that's exactly what the justices were saying. They were saying that that is a problem, and we have to find some kind of medium or happy middle ground so that we have a path forward where we don't have presidents constantly looking over their shoulders.
So on the narrow issue of what brought us here in the first place, which is the election interference case, former President Trump has said that he was acting in an official capacity to ensure election integrity, yet it was pointed out yesterday he hired a private attorney, a private PR group, a private law firm to investigate election fraud claims, which then we never saw the results of that report. Those sound like private acts. He wasn't using the levers of government. Was it a pretty compelling argument?
And that was brought about by Amy Coney Barrett.
Right.
President Trump's better arguments would be if he stuck to the powers that are enumerated in the Constitution for the president, the specific things that the duties are that the president has. Now, when you're engaged in politics, there's no place in the Constitution that describes those things. So there are some arguments that when you're acting in politics, those aren't official acts. But again, that's precisely why the lower courts would have to look at this, because there are arguments to be made on both sides, and the Supreme Court's not going to take that and take witnesses. They would have to have a lower court hear that.
But how do you come to a conclusion on that? Because we heard an avalanche of hypotheticals yesterday.
Right.
How do you anticipate all those hypotheticals, either legislatively or judicially?
One case at a time, Guy, so that they can only do so much.
Which is what keeps us in business, Matthew.
Yeah, why exactly. We bring you on every other day to talk about the Supreme Court, right?
That's right. I think they can only decide so much. They can only take so many of these hypotheticals up. And the Supreme Court, that is what they do. They also ask a lot of hypotheticals. And they're trying to set up the framework of the law for moving forward. And then they'll hear these individual cases like they have now, won't touch on every single thing. They'll decide what they can, and then they'll set aside the other issues that they can decide later. They'll do that down the road.
In a much larger context, though, the credibility of the court, no matter what they decide here, it seems that it's a lose-lose because it will be, to some degree, depending on your political persuasion, defined as the politicization of the court. If they delay, well, then you're helping Trump. If they say you have limited immunity, well, then you're punishing Trump. You're persecuting Trump.
Well, you can also look at all the other cases in front of the justices for context to find out whether that's true or not. Remember, there's that Colorado case that Trump said that can't stand because I need to stay on the ballot. You know,
right.
People thought one way or the other about that. But all told, you look at all these cases, because Trump has so many cases in front of the Supreme Court. If they are all, every single one of them, if they are all one-sided, I would agree with you. But that's not really what we're seeing. It seems like we're seeing a bit of a split. And so therefore, the American public will have a little bit more confidence in their Supreme Court because of that.
But still, you end up angering both sides equally, which doesn't necessarily help the court's reputation, right?
Welcome to government. Welcome to politics.
Welcome to life.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Matthew Schneider, leader of investigations and white collar defense practice at Hahnemann Law. Thank you for your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
I saw online, you guys, that Mission Point has this like camera pointed out into the water to see
straits.
And that got me so excited about summer. Let's get even more excited, because technically it's opening day on Mackinac Island. And, even though it never really closes, let's get pumped for summer. That's next at 6:49.